Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. Everyone, I didn't bring it, but Avigdor Miller says that it was on the back of the Torah of Avigdor Bereishis, I believe, that he says that Cheshvan, Cheshvan is just, it's the most unremarkable month. It's really interesting to me when you consider that Cheshvan has nothing. It has no days of Smechot and has no days of Avelus, Baruch Hashem, but it's the only month in the entire year, literally the only month in the entire year, that does not have any sort of commemoration for anything at all. So it's really the outlier. But Avigdor Miller says that in Tishrei we lost so much time from Torah learning. We had all the Yomim Tovim, and there was such an absence of Torah learning. So he says, so Hashem gives us Cheshvan to make up for all that time, and it's a time that we go back to our schedule. He said people missed work, people missed Seder, people missed Shiurim. So we know that from our own schedule. Baruch Hashem, we're involved in mitzvos, but Torah learning, I don't want to say Chas V'Shem goes on a hiatus, but it is certainly not the same as it was, as it is during a regular month. So then we have Cheshvan to make up for all the lost time, Baruch Hashem. And really, it just teaches us the importance of Seder in the life of a Jew, that there's nothing unremarkable about the month, but it is our tafkid to keep going as a Jew in Avodas Hashem with the Seder that Hashem gives us. So of course, we are learning L'Zecher and L'Yilui Nishmas of Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, may the Neshama have a continuous Aliyah and those chus of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. And we thank the Fron family very, very much for their years of generosity and ensuring that the Divrei Torah, L'Zecher Nishmas, their mother, will continue Be'ezras Hashem. Tizku L'Mitzos U'L'Maisim Tovim. So we are on page 263 of the Sefer. If you don't have the Sefer, we are in the chapter called The Essence of I, and we are in the section, Our Will is to Do Your Will. So we are still talking about Ritzoneinu La'aso Ritzonecha, Our Will is to Do Your Will. Last time we spoke about Bereishis, some acronyms for Bereishis, etc. So let's go. If the soul would not contain any element of Hashem's will, actually it relates to Bereishis, because Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chayim, Hashem blew into Adam the soul of life. Adam was created Afar Min Ha'adama, dust from the earth, Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, but he's not just a clod of earth. Why is he not just a clod of earth? Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chayim, Hashem blew into Adam a soul of life. So where does the soul come from? It doesn't come from like an air blower, and it doesn't come from, I don't know, a vacuum cleaner, and it doesn't come from a purifier, comes from the Ribono Shel Olam himself, so to speak. The soul is a chelek Elokim Yimo. I believe it's a pasuk from Iyov Perek Lamed Al Pasuk Beis, I think. So the soul is a portion of God from above. So therefore, obviously, we contain an element of Hashem's will. Why do we contain an element always deep inside of ourselves of wanting to do Hashem's will? Because our soul is godly. Our soul is from the Ribono Shel Olam himself. So somewhere deep down, even if it's covered by all that schmutz in society, by the Yetzer Hara, we all want to do Hashem's will. And if the soul would not contain this element, you would never be able to escape the will of the eye, to accept the will of the Creator. How is it possible that a person could accept the will of the Creator? It's because really your will is Hashem's will. Why? Because my neshama is godly. But because there's already some expression of Hashem's will deep in the soul, a person can enter into Hashem's world. And the truth is that Lamaisa, the most direct way to enter into Hashem's world is through Limud Torah and Asiyas Mitzvos. If a person wants to enter into the world of the Ribono Shel Olam, that is the way to do it. By learning Hashem's Torah, you are discovering the Ribono Shel Olam, so to speak, as if such a thing were possible, but through Torah it becomes possible. And also through Asiyas Mitzvos, every Jew is an inner essence of Ritzoneinu La'aso Ritzonecha, our will is to do your will. The soul is inherently bound with Hashem's will, like we have explained, because we were created from God himself, and even the will of the I is a garment over Hashem's will. So we spoke last time, remember, Avram Zakin. Did anyone say it? And yeah, me too? Yeah. Very good. The past both 2 days. Both days, yeah. We said it after Halal this morning, which is Aleph Cheshvan.
I said it during benching, when it's Bakol, Mikol, Kol.
Yeah.
That each one is supposed to correlate to one of the others.
Oh, the Avram is the Avram's call, yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking about then also.
Oh, very nice. Okay, so I did not think of it by benching, but this morning, which was Av Cheshvan, and yesterday, which is Lamed Tishrei, both days of Rosh Chodesh, after Halal, we said, for Avram Zakein, Bo Bayamim, Bereishis 24:1, Vashem Berechas Avram, there you go, Bakal. So Bo Bayamim, coming with days, and we learned last time what it means, that the Zohar explains the Parshas Vayichi, we quoted the Sefer, short and sweet on the Parsha, that in the Olam HaEmes, in the Olam HaNeshamos, a person's cloak, a person's spiritual clothing, is the way they spent their days in this world. So that's how a person in the next world is going to be dressed. Whatever mitzvahs, whatever tefillah, whatever chesed, whatever Torah we learned in this world, that becomes our cloak in the next world. So a person has to ask themselves, What will my garment be in the next world? It's a scary thought. Down here, the soul is inherently bound with Hashem's will, and even the will of the eye. So down here, we have an eye. In the next world, it's going to be so clear to us that there is no eye. But here, we struggle with the Yetzer Hara, with the eye. And that is a garment over Hashem's will. So down here, it's a not positive garment. It's a garment we have to shed ourselves of. We have to strip ourselves of the eye. If we want to have Hashem's Anochi, we need to have get rid of our own Anochi. Deep down, the eye, which superficially wants material things, and the eye even wants forbidden things, so that's the Yetzer Hara, that's what the Nachash did. The Nachash made Isha want something material. The fruit was an actual fruit. What exactly was it? So there's differences of opinion. But he made her want something material. And furthermore, he made her want something that was absolutely forbidden. It was the only thing in the whole Gan Eden that was off limits. The only thing. Everything else they were allowed to have. In fact, according to the Meshech Chachma, which I've quoted before, it's a beautiful, beautiful Meshech Chachma. The first mitzvah in the Torah, I don't remember if I taught in this class or in another class, the first mitzvah in the Torah is Mikol Yitzhagan Ochel Tochel. Enjoy my world. Eat from the trees of the garden. That's the first mitzvah. V'yitzav Hashem Elokim ala Adam Leimar. Hashem Elokim commanded upon Adam saying, Mikol Yitzhagan Ochel Tochel. You should eat from all the trees of the garden. U'me'etz hadas tov v'rasha v'socha gam nosocha mimenu. The second command was the lo tase of don't eat from the forbidden fruit. But the first command was enjoy my world. It's amazing. And the Meshech Chachma quotes a Yerushalmi that when we get up to Shemayim, we're going to be asked if we didn't enjoy Hashem's world, if you didn't eat his peros, why didn't you enjoy Hashem's world? So the Eitz Hadas represents the material and forbidden things that we desire. Post in the Eitz Hara moved in. And now what happens when he moved in is he covers up Hashem's neshama. So the neshama, which is a chelek alokai mimal, becomes covered up from the eye. What's the eye? Materialism, forbidden things. But that's all a covering for Hashem's will. That's not really what we want. Deep down, what we all want is to do Hashem's will. If so, the human personality is made up of three levels. Or page 263. If so, the human personality is made up of three levels, or you could understand layers, okay, like the teva. Three levels or three layers. On the third layer, which you could say represents the outermost layer, was the garbage. That represents the HR, the forbidden material things. I'm not in the sefer right now. If you're looking for this isn't in the sefer. Okay. What I read was, if so, the human personality is made up of three levels or layers. Then I said, like the teva. But then I thought, wait a minute, there's something much deeper actually going on there. You could say that the outer layer, the most visible layer, closest to the water, was the garbage. The garbage layer represents the things we shouldn't want, but the Yetzer Hara makes us want. The materiality we shouldn't want, the forbidden things. It's really schmutz. It's garbage. We shouldn't want them. The middle layer was the animals. That represents the nefesh ha-behami in every person. We have an animalistic soul. Everyone has an animalistic soul. And then the innermost hidden part of the teva was where the people resided. And the people are godly. So man is just a little bit under the angels. Man is called Adam because he could be either be Edmad la'elyon, resemble God. He could be so great, he could be godly. Or he could be like Adama, dirt. So this is very interesting. I did not think when I was preparing, that's why I paused for a second. Because I said the human personality is made up of three levels or layers, but my mind's really always... Yeah, you saw my face, okay? So my mind's...
I thought of the three levels like the Ruach, the Nefesh, Neshama, was what I thought, that like each...
Ruach, Nefesh, Neshama. So there's really five layers of the soul. It's Ruach, Nefesh, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. Okay? Actually, it's Nefesh. Nefesh is the most base animalistic, and there's five levels. Levels or layers, really, actually, this is not far-fetched at all, and it fits in actually beautifully. The teva represents, and teva also means word. Teva does not only mean ark, like, you know, Roshei Tevos, yeah? Teva also means word. So a person has to strive to find the word of Hashem in their life. In order to hear the word of God in your life, which is why we're all here, we have to understand the divine mission. Ayeko Hashem Elokim Ela Adam Vayomer Elav, Perek Gimel Pasuk Tes. Ayeko. Everyone has to hear the Ayeko in your life. So Taka, where am I holding in my life? And where is the word of God in my life? And how am I doing? So you have three layers. So the outermost bottom layer, the outermost layer, not the inner, the outermost layer is the garbage level. What does that mean? It's the garbage that Rachman al Tzan covers our soul. It's the schmutz in society that unfortunately we become busy with, that we should not be busy with. It's not meant for a yid. But society is very strong. I'm reading a book now. It's called How do you break up with your phone? It's not Jewish. I read about a mishpacha, actually. A few weeks ago, they had a piece because they gave 7 readers or something this book to read and this assignment to do. And it's called How to Break Up With Your Phone by Catherine Price. So how did she come? It's very small. I read it on Amazon. It's very good. So she said that there's a quote in there. She quotes from different authors and researchers. So I don't remember who said the quote, but the difference between slavery and technology is that slaves know they're not free. The difference between slavery and technology is that slaves know they're not free. So, and how did she have the impetus to write the book? Why was she motivated to write the book? Because she said one day she was nursing her baby, and at one point during the nursing, she looks down and she saw the baby looking at her, and she was staring at her screen. And she realized something's wrong. Something has to change. It's very good. I told you, I saw it in Mishpacha. If you're interested, I ordered it on Amazon. It's called How to Break Up With Your Phone by Catherine Price. Okay. So, except for like 2 lines, it's very tsanua. I read about a Mishpacha. It was just one reference to whatever. Okay. It's not tsanua. Whatever. I'm not going to say what it says. Okay. You can read it for yourself. My point is that the outer layer is the garbage, the things we shouldn't be involved in at all. But what happens? It's the covering for the soul. Under that is the nefesh ha-behami, the animal soul that every person has. We all have, that's the nefesh. Vayadam le-nefesh chaya, animals are also called a nefesh chaya. Right? Rashi says that. What's the difference between us and the animals? Because it's in Bereishis 2:7. Because animals are also have a nefesh chaya. So we have the nefesh abemi. That is the second layer of the teva. And then there's the third layer. The third layer is reserved for who? People. What does people mean? People means it means to be godly. There's a quote. Which sefer is it brought down in my house? I don't remember. It's not difficult to be an angel. What's difficult is to be a human being. Angels don't have bechira. They don't have a problem with the garbage layer and the nefesh ha-bechami layer. They just only do what Hashem wants them to do. Is that difficult to be an angel? It's one of my sfarim at home, but I don't remember which one. What's difficult is to be a human being. When a person taps into the koch of what it means to be a person, then you have uncovered and thrown out the garbage layer, and you've gone past the nefesh ha-bechami, the animalistic layer, and now you're a person. And that's godless. So here we go back to the sefer. The human personality is made up of 3 levels or layers, and like we said, we compared it to the teva, which also means word. Because you have to be able to hear the word of Hashem in your life. And if you want to hear the word of Hashem in your life, you can only do that if you remove the garbage, move past the animalistic layer, and find yourself at the people level, at the humanistic level, at the Eved Hashem level. Then you can mamash hear the word of Hashem. Asei lecha tevas gomer. What is Hashem? Asei lecha. Make for yourself a teva. You want to hear my word in your life? This is how you have to do it. Very, very nice. Baruch Hashem. Beautiful. What's wrong? Is it noisy?
Yes, just 2 people outside.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Deep down, there is Hashem's will. So deep down, hidden in the bowels of the teva, you have a person. Covering that is the will of the eye to do Hashem's will. And covering that is the will to oppose Hashem's will, chas v'sham. And that, like we said, is all the garbage that covers up what wants us to not do Hashem's will. You cannot jump from your improper will to Hashem's will. So in other words, you can't just expect to go in one fell swoop through all these layers and all these levels. That's not how it works in a Avodas Hashem. Oh, I have it at home on my desk. On the back of one of Rav Avigdor Miller's kuntras recently, was a Mamar Chazal. Tafasta miruba lo tafasta, tafasta ma'at tafasta. Okay, Baruch Hashem. My son was talking to me, so he mentioned that mamar, so I didn't know what he was saying. He says, Mommy never heard that mamar. I said, no, what are you saying? So he repeated again, I didn't know. So he went to get Torah Sevigdor, so he showed me on the back page. So this is the funniest part. I said, oh, I never read the back page. He says, Mommy, you never read the back page? So I actually tore it out of that Torah Sevigdor, and it's actually on my desk, and it ties into this exactly, that Chazal say, so I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember where it's brought in the Gemara, but tafasta meruba lo tafasta. If you try to catch, capture, grab onto a lot, ultimately lo tafasta. You're going to have nothing.
I think it was Rabbi Yochanan's response.
I can't hear.
I think it was Rabbi Yochanan's response when after he met with Titus the emperor. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's response after he met with Titus the emperor and he came back into Yerushalayim, Rabbi Akiva asked him, like, how could you not ask for Yerushalayim? And I believe his answer was to fast and Marula.
Oh, very nice. From Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
I believe so. I learned about it with Rabbi Silver.
Okay. Could be other places in the Gemara, so I don't know. It's not in front of me, so I'm saying I don't know.
Me either, so.
Okay. So Balamaisa, the mamar is correct. Tafasta meruba lo tafasta. If you try and do too much at once, Lamaisa, you're going to end up with nothing because you're setting yourself up for failure. It's not realistic. So let's say a person does not daven shachris. So now they got a sheer tafasta. You have to catch on to something, get rid of the garbage layer, get rid of the animal soul, find your people. I'm going to daven the whole shachris. So this morning with Hal, I don't know how long it took you. Don't judge me if it's long, it's short, whatever. It took me 30 minutes to daven this morning. That's because it's Rosh Chodesh. So someone says, let's say that's their goal. I'm going to go from not davening anything. It doesn't fit into my day, never to davening the whole shachris. How's it going to work? Maybe for a day. Maybe you're at tzaddikus. Maybe you're on the level of the angels. But Lamaisa, Chazal advise you not to do it that way because it's very easy to set yourself up for failure. Tafasta meruba, lo tafasta. However, tafasta ma'a tafasta. If you grab onto little, it will be lasting. It will be something that you can hold onto. So you cannot jump, says the Mechaber, from the improper will to Hashem's will. You can't expect quickly grab onto so much and be successful. You must first traverse the intermediate stage. So stages, steps, increments, in which there is an I that also wants to do Hashem's will. So you have to identify that you have an I, and you're an I. You have to identify what is the I really want. Excuse me, the I really wants to do the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what our I wants. I'm now going to quote from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Is that all? 1 second. I'm actually quoting from the Machzor. Okay, Machzor for Rosh Hashanah with commentary of Rav Soloveitchik. Okay. Every Jew was sent to earth. Why are we here? Every Jew was sent to earth as an agent of the Creator. That's why we're here. You're an agent. You're a shlucho shel makom. When one sins, what happens when a person does an aveira? What person happens when a person transgresses? He violates, number one, quote, the will of God, which is exactly what we're learning about, finding Hashem's will deep inside ourselves. He violates the will of God, but he also violates something else, the contract, the terms of his own assignment. You violate your own assignment. In halacha, a person's status is an agent. So in halacha, there's a concept of shlucho shel adam kamoso. So if you send mishloach manos and somebody delivers the mishloach manos for you, they are the shaliach and you're the sender. If you, the easiest example that I give is if you mail a letter to somebody and you ask them to put it in the mailbox. So the person on the receiving end, when they get the letter didn't come from the person who put it into the mail slot of the mailbox. The letter came from you, the sender. So with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we all here, we are an agent of the Creator. He gave us an assignment and we are his agent. When one sins, he violates not only the will of God, but also the terms of his own assignment. In halacha, a person has a status of an agent for somebody else, but when does it disappear? The moment the sender wishes to terminate the agent's mission. So if the sender, the boss, the appointee, wishes to terminate the agent's mission, so now you're not kamosho anymore. Now he says, forget it, I'm going to mail the letter myself. It's just been terminated. There's no more contract. Similarly, a person can exist on earth only as long as he pursues the mission assigned by his sender. And does Hashem continue to give us life when we continue to fulfill the assignment given to us by the sender? This doctrine was articulated to Moshe with a simple instruction by Hashem at the burning bush. And now go, va'atalech v'ashalach al paro. Go and I will send you to Paro. The creator of the world, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Ribbono shel Olam, the master of the universe, the Adon ha'olamim, the infinite, the Ein Sof, appoints flesh and blood. Temporal man, he quotes the Gemara from Brachas, who is kan hayom machar bekever. Hashem appoints mortal man who is here today and tomorrow in the grave as his agent. It's mind-boggling. There are billions of creatures on this planet, billions and billions. And Hashem appointed lowly one a drop in a bucket of infinity me to be his agent, and that's all of you. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, how can weak, finite man possibly act as an agent of the infinite creator of all worlds? If you look up tonight, you can see Jupiter again. You haven't been able to see it for a few nights. It's been overcast and cloudy. But better than the night sky, the morning sky around 6:15 a.m. is beyond words. It is so breathtaking. It gives new meaning to Yotzer HaMa'oros and your Tfilos. You could see Mars, Mercury, Jupiter. The last time you were able to see it was Shabbos morning, because it's been cloudy since every morning. So don't joke. At Shabbos morning at 5 a.m. I woke up and I thought, should I actually go outside to see the sky? And I thought, Micha, that's a little extreme. I didn't. But I had seen it from Hoshana Rabbah through the entire week every morning. It is beyond words. And on Friday, the last day I saw it before it got cloudy, it was a crescent moon, because it was Rosh Chodesh just now, but you could see the full moon so clearly, without a telescope, so clearly you could see the crescent lit up and the rest of the moon. I said to my son, when he came out at 6:30, the bus comes right early, I said, look at the moon. And he said right away, you could see the full moon. The morning sky around 6, it disappears quickly, is beyond words. It's such a pella. It's so incredible. So you stand there and you look up and you think of the vastness of the earth and the vastness of space and everything the Borei Olam created that's beyond anything we could even fathom. And you think to yourself, how can weak, finite man possibly act as agent of the infinite creator of all worlds? Although there's no sound resolution to this question, so Rav Soloveitchik asks the question and then he says, there's no answer to the question. It's beyond our comprehension. The imperative for man is to accept that the assignment remains. Whether you understand or not why God chose lowly man to be his sender, to be his shaliach, right? We can understand, but the appointment and the assignment remains. So when one acts as an agent on behalf of another, the Talmudic dictum, well-known Talmudic dictum, Shlucho Shal Adam Kamoso. Okay, he's quoting from the Mishnah Maseches Bracha. Shlucho Shal Adam Kamoso. That means that this person carrying out the assignment is like the sender himself. Since man, the agent, was created in the image of God, we already quoted by Yipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chaim, and thus man is likened to the sender. If we have a neshama of Hashem inside of us, then we have a piece of God, kaviyachal, inside of us, then every person is likened to the sender. Who's the sender? Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Therefore, man is compelled to accept the assignment despite his feeble capabilities and temporal nature. I have to accept the assignment because my neshama came to me from Hashem. In order to better direct our individual talents and strengths towards carrying out our assignments, we were listen to this. In a sense, we think, I lived, 200 years ago, it would be so much easier. If I lived 500 years ago, it would be so much easier. The Chumash says in a number of places, Shoftim, in Kisavo, by the Kohen, when you come for Bikurim, what? Yeah, so Enocha ala Kohen should be Yamecha. So the Torah says when you have a machlokes, ben din le din, ben dam le dam, ben riv the riv, uvasa ela shofet asher yeh b'yamim ahim. By the Bikurim it says, uvasa ela kohen asher yeh b'yamim ahim. Well, obviously you're going to go to the shofet, the judge or the kohen, the priest who lives in that day. You're not taking a time capsule to bring your Bikurim 500 years ago. So Rashi says in both places, enecha ela kohen el shel b'yamecha. You only have the ruler who is in your days. So, maybe the Chavetz Chaim is greater than anyone who lives today, but we don't have the Chavetz Chaim today. Rav Soloveitchik says something very important. And sometimes, you could wonder, Hashem, why do you put me in this day and age? The nisyonos are so difficult. The struggles are so hard. The immorality, the garbage layer is so intense in the world in which we live. Why? So Rav Soloveitchik says, in order to direct our individual talents and strengths towards carrying out our own assignment, we are predestined to live in a specific place and a specific time. Hashem knows that in order for me to fulfill my mission, I have to live when? Today. Now. In this century, in this decade, in this year, in this time period. Hashem knows under which circumstances, at what time, and in which community one will have the ability to accomplish his assignment. If I could have better accomplished my assignment 500 years ago, then I would be here. Maybe that Gilgal, that neshama needed to be here 500 years ago, but this Gilgal of the neshama needs to be here now. Where the assignment impossible to accomplish. Sometimes a person could think, I really want to do your will, but this is impossible. Ritzoneinu laso ritzonecha, but efshar, I just can't do it. But that's not true. Were the assignment impossible to accomplish, the appointment would be classified under a new halacha category. Tnai she'i efshar the kaimo. If it was mamish impossible, it will be a tnai she'i efshar the kaimo. And if it's a tnai she'i efshar the kaimo, then you're exempt. For example, going back to the mailbox example, let's say someone gives me a letter and they say, I want you to mail this letter from a mailbox in Cincinnati. I don't know, I just chose a place. But I'm not in Cincinnati. You want me to actually put it in the mailbox in Cincinnati. That's where it has to go in the mailbox. So it's impossible. I can't fulfill it. So I am not your sender. I'm not your shaliach. Why? Because it now falls under the category of tnai she'i afshar the kaimo. This is a condition which is impossible for me to fulfill. But it's not like that vis-a-vis our assignments in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even though sometimes you might think this is impossible for me to fulfill. Balamaisa, it's not, because Hashem, who is infinite, if it's clear tomorrow morning and you're up in the sixes, try and look at the sky. It's so breathtaking. It's so marbu masach Hashem. It's so astonishing. It's much better than the night sky. Sorry to the night sky, but it doesn't compare. So it's not impossible. Otherwise, Hashem would not have put me in this time and he would not have given me my life. Oh, it's difficult. Oh, I don't understand it. Oh, sometimes I think it's impossible. Well, I say it's not impossible. Otherwise, it becomes a tnai she'i afshar l'kaimo. That is a condition that's impossible to fulfill. And then it would be your appointment is legally invalid. I can't do it. I literally cannot mail a letter in a mailbox in a different state because I'm here right now. So I can't do it. If God appoints an agent, and we are all an agent of Hashem, the agent must, by definition, have been endowed with the ability to act in his assigned capacity. If God appoints an agent, we are all an agent of Hashem, then the agent must, by definition, be endowed with the ability to act in his assigned capacity. Sometimes you think, I can't. Maybe not you, me. Sometimes you think the Nisayan is very great. But if Hashem gave you the Nishayim, by definition, it means you are endowed with the talents, abilities, and capabilities to fulfill your assigned mission. The time and place in which each individual appears on earth is designated to allow him the best conditions in which to fulfill his particular assignment. So it means we're supposed to be here with that whole garbage layer, with all the schmutz. The difference between technology and slavery is that slaves know that they're not free. But this is when we are supposed to be here. The word malach, mem, lamed, aleph, chaf, sofis, which is usually translated as angel, also in the Chumash doesn't only mean angel, it also means a human being and a celestial being. It has different... Yishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav. Okay, so did he send angels or did he send messengers? But sometimes it means a messenger. Both angels and humans were created for the same purpose. They were created to carry out God's mission. A malach has his shaliach, shlucho, his shlichos, and I have my shlichos. The difference is that angels have no free will. They are compelled to carry out their assignment. And this brings our peace full circle to where we're up to in the Sefer, which is Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzonecha. Man, in contrast, is free to be either faithful or unfaithful to his mission and his sender. I have bechira chafshis. I have a choice. I could choose to live on the garbage level of the teva, or I could choose to live on the upper level of the teva. I have a choice, or somewhere in the middle, and tapping into my nefesh habamim. Am I going up or am I going down? But every person has a choice. The angel has a mission, and a man has a mission. The only difference is, the angel is compelled to carry out his assignment. Man is free to be faithful or unfaithful to his mission and his sender. That's what Bechira Chafshi says. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says at the end of his life in Vayelech. Becharta Bechayim, Aman Tichya. There are two paths, and I have a choice which path I want to choose. Okay, going back to the Sefer. One second, there's a bunch of comments. Okay. So for the couple of comments, it's before sunrise. I'm not talking about sunrise. You have to be out before sunrise, before the sun begins to, before the sky begins to light. And sunrise is after 7. My husband said yesterday in show they couldn't even put on their talis and tefillin yet when they started davening. It was so early. What?
Like a pre-dawn sky.
I can't hear.
The pre-dawn sky.
Correct. Yeah. So a couple of comments are telling me about sunrise. I'm not talking about sunrise. By then, you're too late. By 6:45, it's starting to disappear already because the sun rises around 7:10. It's the very dark midnight blue pre-dawn sky when you can see the planets and the moon. Well, actually, tomorrow you probably won't even be able to see the moon. But you will still have an amazing, amazing, amazing display of the Ribbono Shel Olam's infinite greatness. Okay, but it's, I'm not talking about sunrise. Okay, so let's go back. So let's just do the last paragraph on page 263 again. Bleed later, I won't comment, but I'm only probably real, so I shouldn't even bother. If so, the human personality is made up of three levels or layers, like we compared to the Teva. Deep down, there's Hashem's will. We explained this all. Covering that is the will of the I to do Hashem's will. Covering that is the will to oppose Hashem's will. Chas v'shalom. You cannot jump from your improper will to Hashem's will. You must first traverse the intermediate stage in which there is an I that also wants to do Hashem's will. So, tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mi'u tafasta. You will, how do you go from one stage to the other? By making a small Kabbalah. It's something that we stress all the time and that the Sefer has stressed repeatedly through our years of learning. We can't set ourselves up for failure. We must set ourselves up for success by grabbing on hold to something small. Okay, the Pasuk says, when Hashem favors the ways of a man, even his enemies will make peace with him. If you see the footnote, it says it's from Mishlei, Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Zayin. Okay, 16:7. So it happens to be, I have this little Sefer from Rav Shamsher Falhirsch. You have it? Okay, Rav Shamsher Falhirsch. It's called From the Wisdom of Mishlei, teaching of Rav Shamsher Falhirsch. But it's not grouped according to Perek Psukim. It's grouped according to Pasuk. So in his preparing this shiur, I thought maybe Rav Hirsch has commentary in this on that Pasuk. But I'm going to have to find it. How am I going to find it? So this is just cool. Okay, so it's grouped according. What he does is he takes a number of Psukim from Mishlei from all over and groups according to topic. So for example, one topic is righteous and unrighteous, wise men and fools, speech, parents and children, rich and poor, social classes, industry and indolence, the proper use of wealth, acts of righteousness and kindly justice, friendship, strife and anger. So first I looked, I think, under the topic of friendship. It wasn't there, because you see the pasuk is, Birtzos Hashem darche ish gam oivav yashlim oso. When Hashem favors the ways of a man, even his enemies will make peace with him. So first I looked up a friendship. It wasn't there. Then I looked under the social classes, because I thought maybe it was talking about, you know, enemies, friends. It wasn't there. Then I looked under conduct towards enemies. And it was there. And then I said, what did I say?
We're just surprised that there's a whole topic, that there's a whole chapter on conduct towards enemies.
So what did I say? Hashem loves me. It was mom. It's mamash here. What? It's mamash here. This little conscious. And it's not grouped according to Perek.
How many pesukim are under
that? How many
pesukim are under that topic?
Okay, so how many? I'm going to tell you. It's not such a, it's not very, like, I'll show you, for example. Here's number of pesukim. And the commentary is just this. It's a small sefer, you see? And this.
Well, if you have chapter titles like that, I can't imagine it's going to be a novel.
Okay. Anyway, the Maisa. Here we go. Conduct towards enemies. Commentary of Rav Shamsher Falhirsch to Mishlei. Like I said, this pasuk is there. I just want to see. Okay. I don't know if anyone else has this. Okay, very little. Small sefer. Okay, so here we go. First, from Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Chof Tes in Mishlei. Al tomer kasher asali kein esalo. Al tomer kasher asali esalo. Don't say. Yeah, this is in Mishlei.
Oh, it sounds like it's from like
no, this is from Mishlei. Perek Chof Dalet, Pasuk Chof Tes. Al tomer kasher asali kein esalo. Ashiv la ish kefa'alo. What is it talking about? Don't take
revenge.
Exactly right. That's right. Don't say what you did to me, I'm going to do to him. I'm going to pay him back like what he did. That's the first pasuk. So in other words, this is the again, it's not grouped according to Perek. It's teachings from Mishlei under categories. So this category is conduct towards enemies. So that's how he begins. Next, Perechav Pasuchav Beis. Al Tomer Ashalma Ra Kaveh LaHashem V'Yoshalach. Do not say, Asham Mara, I will pay back evil. Kaveh la Hashem. What should he do instead? Put your hope in God. V'yishalach, and he will, V'yosha, from Hoshea, from Yeshua. Hope to God. Okay, Hoshana Rabbah, hope to God, and he will help you, he will save you. Next, Chaf Dalad, Yud Zayin through Yud Ches. This is a famous one. I'm sure you know this like I did. Ben Fol Aivecha Al Tismach Uvikashlo Al Yageli Becha. When your enemy falls, do not rejoice, and when he stumbles, let your heart not rejoice. Why? This is very famous psukim. Pen Yira Hashem V'Rab Be'enav. It will be bad. God will see. We'll see what? That you're rejoicing over your enemy's downfall. And it will be bad in his eyes. Veheshiv ma'alava po. Hashem will remove from him his wrath. So when your enemy falls, you should not be happy. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. Lest God see. It will be bad in his eyes. And he will remove from him his wrath. Okay, next. Chaf hei, chaf aleph through chaf beis. Im ra'ev sonecha. If your enemy is hungry, what should you do? What do you think it's going to say based on the previous psukim? What?
Feed him?
Oh, not kill him. Kayin should have learned Mishlei. Ha'achilehu lechem. If your enemy is hungry, what should you do? Feed him bread. Ve'im tsame, and if he is thirsty, hashkehu mayim. You should give him water to drink. Ki gacholim ata chosel arosho. For coals, gacholim, coals, you are heaping upon his head. V'Hashem yishalem lach. God will pay you back. So here it's a positive. In other words, you're filling him up with warmth. You're filling him up with warmth. The best is in the Nautilus, where I go Wednesday afternoons. Where, K'nai Nahara, I always say I should be like that. I should be in my upper 90s in sheer getting phone calls at the same time. It's amazing. Okay. Like, because you are heaping coals, warmth upon his head. V'Hashem yishalem lach. So don't leave him out in the cold. Don't leave him thirsty. Don't leave him hungry. Feed him bread. Give him water. Give him some heat. Hashem will pay you back. And then, I mamash said Hashem loves me to myself. Birtzos Hashem darchei ish gam oivav yashlim ito. Which is the exact pasuk that our author quotes. When a man's ways please God, he shall make even his enemies be at peace with him. So this is the series, 1, 2, 3, 4, some of them are two psukim, but it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's five, it's excerpts from five places in Mishlei, but a number of them are double psukim, five places in Mishlei that Rav Hirsch is now going to put together with for us, which tells us how to deal with our enemy, how to treat our enemy, okay? Nothing is more natural. Remember the first pasuk was, Al tomer kasher asali kain es elo. I translated all these already. Ashiv la'ish kepa'olo. We translated them all and I gave you the source. Nothing is more natural than the wish to take revenge. It's a human instinct. And seemingly nothing corresponds to justice as much as a just revenge. Let him get what he deserved. And yet the divine law warns us, you are not to take revenge. First of all, it's way before Mishlei. The pasuk says in Kadosh in Perek Yates, I believe it's Pasuk Yad Ches, Lo Sikom Velo Sitar Aspenei Amecha, Lo Sikom, do not take nekama, do not take revenge, and do not bear grudge. Still, the desire for revenge is so strong in us, it is aroused so powerfully by the wrong that is inflicted upon us. It is so difficult to subdue in compliance with the law. This is a perfect example of making his will your will. It's easy to make Hashem's will your will, but it's not so hard. It's much...
Very profound.
What?
It's easy to make his will your will, but it's not so hard.
Correct.
It's funny. I was like, that's very profound. It's easy when it's not hard.
But it's true. Right? Like... We bought such a good, I never bought it before, Parv ice cream. For a second day's Yantif, I made a delicious recipe from my sister-in-law. It's like individual apple crisp. It's like a half an apple. I could share the recipe if you want. Oh, gosh.
Oh, when you do apple pies.
You haven't shared your recipes in a long time.
Yeah, I don't have time. I don't have any time.
No,
It's a half an apple.
Instead of baked
one apple, second. It's a half an apple that you scoop out. there's a recipe for a crumb topping, and you bake it. So it's delicious. So we bought a new power of ice cream that I never bought before. It's made in Canada, actually. And it's interesting because if you read the ingredients, it's MK, which I grew up with. It's Montreal kosher. If you read the ingredients, it's very natural. It doesn't have, interestingly, like chemicals and ingredients that you don't recognize. I didn't say it's healthy, but it's natural. Ad kedei kach, that I never bought it before, and one of my sons is sitting at the table and he says, is this Melechex? He was not joking. I said, oh my gosh. I said to my husband who did the shopping every second day, I said, is this Melechex? So he went to the freezer quickly to check, and it's not. It's Parf.
So which brand is
it? Oh, sorry. You're right. Abes. You're right. A-B-E-S. I bought another container today. Okay, it was really good. We bought vanilla with fudge swirl, and it's very good. What's my point? It's not so hard. So maybe to ice cream expert, then they are going to, who only wants Haagen-Dazs, but Lamaisha to a regular person. So my point is, as an example, it's not hard to do Hashem's will not to mix basar b'chalav when the Abe's ice cream is really good with a half apple baked with the crumb topping on top. I'm doing his will, but how hard is it to do his will in that instance? Not hard at all. It's very enjoyable and very pleasurable. But the will to take nekama is aroused so powerfully by the wrong inflicted on us. Oh my gosh, I looked at the time. It's so difficult to subdue in compliance with the law. That's really when it's hard to do Ratzon Hashem. That's when you really have to say Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzonecha and push yourself to move past the garbage layer and past the animal layer to find the people layer inside. That Mishlei adds some reflections which come to our aid. Mishlei helps us to obey this difficult precept. You may think you're allowed to defend yourself by countering such evils that may threaten you by equally evil actions. So you may think, if you do evil to me, I could do evil to you. For instance, defamation by defamation. So someone slandered me, someone spoke Lashon Hara about me, ask all the halachic authority, we should never be in such a situation. I'm giving an example. So you may think the best thing to do is, well, go back. They defamed me, now I'm going to do the same thing to them. Evil does not become good when you use it in the fight against bad. Evil does not become good just because you use it in the fight against bad. He's commenting on the second excerpt that he quoted. Al tomar ashal mara. Don't say, I will pay you back with bad. Do not believe it, exclamation mark. Evil does not become good because you use it in the fight against bad. Even at the time of fighting your enemies, you are to remain free from moral defilement. It's very powerful when you think of the political stage and how politicians fight, insult, go against each other. Even at the time of fighting your enemies, the Torah demands that we remain free of moral defilement. We must be worthy of God and of yourself. You always have to remember, I have to move past the garbage and past the animal soul to find who I am, which is a person. It's not hard to be a malach. It's hard to be a human being, even when his ratzon is difficult. If it's parv, I used to taste. My son, mom, sat at the table, is this melechik? He wasn't joking. I said, oh my gosh, is this actually melechik? We went to the freezer to check. But what about when it's difficult? You must remain worthy of God and of yourself. Do not try to help yourself by unworthy weapons. Al tomar ashal mara. What should you do? Kaveh la Hashem. Hope unto God, because He helps those who remain pure for His sake. Kaveh Hashem v'yishalach, and He will save you. Okay? Next. The next excerpt that he quoted was, "Binfol eivech al tismach, when your enemy falls, do not be happy. Uvi kashlo al yalgeli becha, when he stumbles, don't let your heart rejoice. Why? Pen yira Hashem v'rabeinav, Hashem's going to see it's going to be bad in his eyes. V'heishiv me'alav apo, it's going to have the opposite effect. What's going to happen? He's going to remove his wrath from your enemy. Even when God helps, and the enemy who pursues you come to grief and suffers a fall, which is not of your making. It's not of your making. Your enemy who is pursuing you suffers a fall and grief, which is not of your making. Do not be glad for his downfall. Do not rejoice over his moral degradation, because all the world can now see how evil he is. Such a malicious, vengeful joy is also a sin. It is a malicious, vengeful joy, and that too is a sin. After all, even the evil people, says Rav Hirsch, that inflict upon us cannot happen without God's permission. I was cleaning the powder room today, cleaning a number of the facilities today in the house. I was cleaning the powder room and I bumped my knee, I think, my foot. I remember when I was washing the floor. So I said right away, Chulin 7b, Ein Adam Nekaf, not in the bathroom, in my head. Ein Adam Nekaf Etzbo Milamata, Ala Imkin Mechrizin Alav Milamata. That's what I thought. Okay, I banged, I don't know if it was my knee, whatever, I don't remember exactly. A person, Chulin 7b, a person cannot, does not hurt his toe below unless it's decreed upon him from above. So it's true in the physical realm and in the emotional realm. And sometimes it's very hard. But Rav Hirsch says, even the evil that people inflict upon us cannot happen without God's permission. And it may well be that the animosity you encountered is a trial which Hashem has imposed upon you in order to test your own moral stamina. So some of us are making faces. If you think of a personal matzav and how difficult it is, it's so hard. The Torah really expects us to be a man. Noach ish, tzadik, tamim haya bedorasav. It was so easy in his generation. The sins were avodah zarah, arayos, and gazel. Rashi tells in the beginning of the parasha. When everyone around you is full of garbage, it's very hard to be a moral, upright ish. It may well be the animosity you encountered. I'm thinking of a specific matzav. Trying so hard to work on something. It's so hard. It's mamish so hard. Is a trial God has imposed. I'm talking to Michal Arts. God has imposed upon you to test your own moral stamina. Hence, if you're rejoicing, which is displeasing to God, now gives proof of your persisting moral immaturity. So if that person is a downfall and you rejoice, you've just proved to God that you are morally immature. It might well lead to renewed activity by your enemy, whose downfall you have thus prematurely celebrated. So it's all very relevant examples that ties in beautifully to Ratzoneinu V'Lasot Ritzonecha. It's not difficult to do Hashem's will when it lines up with our will. It's difficult to do the will of the Ribono Shel Olam when we have not yet shed the outer, exterior I, and my will is not in tandem with recognizing there is a Ratzon of Hashem. I know I went a little bit over. Please repeat the title. Which title? I don't know what Birka asked me for. This on Mishlei, from the wisdom of Mishlei, it says, Samson or Falhurst, from the wisdom of Mishlei, Feldheim. The book that I mentioned, the other one by Catherine Price, is How to Break Up with Your Phone. Both are recommended. The shir should be Yishchus Aliyah Neshama for Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak. Allah HaShalom. Be'ezras Hashem, we continue next week. Thank you so much, everybody. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much. Kol Tov.